And welcome back to Midday on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That means it's time for our weekly theater review. And our weekly theater reviewer is J. Wynn Russick, former theater critic for the Baltimore Sun, longtime theater critic here at WIPR. Good to see you, Judy. How you doing?
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about the new show at the Everyman Theater. They've opened their season with Wait Until Dark, of course, a very famous movie. Audrey Hepburn is a lot of people familiar with this story and familiar with the movie. So this happens sometimes, you know, where we have stage versions of movies that people know. Is Everyman's production of Wait Until Dark essentially, you know, a recreation of the movie on the stage?
No, it's not. The movie was originally a Broadway play. It starred Lee Remick and Robert Duvall. It's written by Frederick Knott, whom you may know from Dial M for Murder. And the stage play debuted in 1966. It was set in the 60s. Everyman, however, is producing a new 2013 adaptation of Wait Until Dark by a playwright named Jeffrey Hatcher. And there's a major change. This adaptation is now set in 1944 instead of the 60s. So World War II figures prominently into this. The main character, Susan, is married to an ex-Marine, and one of his Marine buddies shows up unexpectedly when her husband's at work one day. But he is not the only person who shows up unexpectedly that day. A few minutes later, a policeman shows up.
Mrs. Hendricks, I don't know if you heard, but there was a body found on the street this morning.
A body?
A woman was strangled. It was on the radio.
She was found in the weeds down next to the laundry, young, pretty blonde. We've been asking residents in the area if anybody knew her.
You're going to have a hard time getting a positive identification from me, Sergeant.
All right, the cast of the Everyman Theater's production of Wait Until Dark. So I think I remember from the movie the reason that the audience is laughing, but why don't you say a little bit about how that figures into the plot?
Well, the protagonist, Susan Hendricks, is blind. She wasn't born blind. She has been blind for about a year and a half since a car accident. So she's still getting accustomed to this. But she's very sharp, and she has a keen sense of humor, which explains a line about hard time getting a positive identification from her. She's played at Everyman by Megan Anderson, and she does an extraordinary job. She consulted with the secretary of the National Federation of the Blind, Massachusetts. She doesn't make eye contact with the other characters. She moves with some tentativeness, but she is whip smart, and it's an excellent, excellent performance. One of the ways, Tom, that this figures into the plot is that Susan's husband has hired a teenage girl named Gloria, who lives in the apartment upstairs, to help Susan out. But Gloria turns out to be this spoiled, selfish brat. She's played alternately by two actresses at Everyman. I saw We Sang Francois, who's a junior at the School for the Arts. But when another stranger, a second stranger, a sinister character played by Bruce Randolph Nelson, barges in, Gloria, the helper, is no help. She gets scared and hides.
Coming!
Is Sam Hunt home? Where's Mrs. Rogue?
I beg your pardon?
Mrs. Harry Rogue, where is she?
No, there is no Mrs. Rogue here. You must have the wrong address.
No, this is the right address.
What are you doing?
This, I know for certain, is the right address. Out of my way, please. I know what I'm looking for.
Bruce Randolph Nelson and Megan Anderson in Wait Until Dark at the Everyman Theater. You know, this is a thriller, obviously, and you can feel the tension building even just in listening to that clip. So movies can do all sorts of things to heighten tension. A live theater production would seem, you know, that they'd have more limitations. I mean, is this a scary production over at Everyman?
Well, Everyman is making a lot of the fact that for the scenes that take place in the dark, the audience is plunged into just as much darkness as the characters. And I have to say, I scare easily. The lighting for this production is by Jay Herzog, and it's fairly low throughout, but it is beautifully calibrated.
That's a heck of a gig to be a lighting designer and be asked to do Wait Until Dark. Yeah, I love that.
It's true. It's true. Most of the action takes place in a basement apartment, and the only window is on sidewalk level. And even when you see just legs walking by in daylight, it's a little scary. I deliberately did not brush up on the movie or the plot ahead of time because I wanted to be surprised. I have to say, I wasn't scared out of my wits. I didn't have to grab my husband once. What affected me more is that in terms of the plot, this is a play about con artists working a con. They're trying to recover a doll that has something valuable hidden inside. I have always been fascinated by con artists. I think they make very good dramatic characters because, after all, con artists are playing a role. They're performing. There's a key line in the play. The war buddy says, "You can be likable and still be a thief. It's kind of a requirement, actually." Now, Bruce Nelson takes a very different tact from being likable. He plays his character as pure evil, and he does a really good job with this. He doesn't just...
That's an interesting choice,
though. It is. And he doesn't just have edge to this character. He's all edge. But he's not the only con artist on stage. I'm not going to give more away, but the whole cast is strong. They're directed by Donald Hicken. Besides Bruce Nelson and Megan Anderson, Eric M. Messner does a very nice job as a compassionate character, the war buddy. Todd Schofield is quite amusing, actually, and a little scary as a bumbling police sergeant. So that part is quite well done.
All right, so is there more to this production? Sounds like there might be. This production of Wait Until Dark, than just trying to scare people, obviously.
I went in wondering that, actually. Everyman opened last season with an Inspector Calls, and that play turned out to be very much about social responsibility. I really puzzled over Wait Until Dark. I thought about this long and hard. At first, Megan Anderson's character Susan seems to be the most vulnerable person on stage. As I said, she's fairly recently blind, hasn't fully learned to navigate. She turns out to be the strongest, smartest person in the play. So I think the play is saying something about resilience, particularly when threatened or under attack. I saw Everyman's production the weekend that two bombs were discovered in New York City, one injuring 29 people. This new adaptation is set in Greenwich Village. The bombs were in the next neighborhood over in Chelsea. So resilience was a very good thing to hear at that time, and still is. I brought you a clip of Megan Anderson as Susan standing up to Bruce Nelson's dangerous bully. You'll hear she only says a couple words, but she is resolute. He cannot break her.
I won't give it to you.
I won't give it to you.
You remind me of a girl who talked just like that, in this very room, too. Only she said, I don't know where it is. I don't. They always say, I don't, I can't, I won't. But they always do.
All right, so as we finish up today here, Judy, Wait Until Dark at the Everyman, a show you'd recommend?
Well, well-acted, well-staged, had to stretch to find some relevance, but it's entertaining, even if it didn't leave me afraid of the dark.
There you go. Wait Until Dark is at the Everyman Theater in Baltimore until a week from Sunday, October 9th. Come to WIPR.org/midday for showtimes and ticket information. Theater critic Jay Wynn Russick joins us every Thursday here on Midday. Judy, what are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, I'll be telling you about The Wild Party, a musical produced by Iron Crow at the Theater Project.
Looking forward to it. All right, that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, an interesting trend in HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. Admissions are up. Is this related to the Black Lives Matter movement? Is it related to the incidents in Ferguson and Baltimore and so many other places? We're going to explore that question tomorrow on Midday. I hope you can join us. Before we go today, we want to thank Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features unique sandwiches and salads with specials each day. All of that's listed on their website. Come on over to eddiesofrolandpark.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening today to Midday. We also want to thank everybody who has taken the plunge on this rainy day and made a pledge in our fall membership campaign. We are entering into the final, about 6 hours, I guess, of this pledge drive. We're working on a big challenge grant from the WIPR Board of Directors. We're grateful to them for their generosity and grateful to everybody who's pledged so far. And we are waiting to hear from you. It's really important and really easy to become a member of WIPR. We're going to throw it back now over to Andy Bienstock and to Sheila Cast, and they can tell us how to do it.
Do it by calling us, 410-235-1395, or make your pledge online at WIPR.org. It's the last day of our fall membership campaign, and your pledge right now will help us continue to serve you throughout the year to come. Your pledge does even more to help when you make it right now, because there's a $50,000 challenge grant on the table today. If we receive 600 pledges before the day is over, we'll be able to add $50,000 to our final total. That challenge money is donated by Jack Machen, Cynthia Berman, and Darcy Carroll, and many other members of the WIPR Board of Directors. Now, 600 pledges is a big goal, but you know what? If we hear from 15 more of you in the next few minutes, we're going to be in pretty good shape to reach it. So pledge now at 410-235-1395 or give online at WIPR.org.
You may have picked up that we're all pretty excited around here about this prospect of this $50,000 challenge grant, because we're so excited about what we do at WIPR. We love doing what we do, and the idea that we could do it better with a little more finances behind us is just really exciting. WIPR is a lot of different things to many people. We're a form of education, enriching the lives of listeners by encouraging people to learn. We're a source of information about science. You can learn extraordinary things about medicine, the universe, and so much more just by turning on your radio. And as we just heard in Tom Hall's conversation with Jaywin Resick, WIPR is also the arts. Music, dance, theater, and so much more all have a home on your public radio. Make a pledge now to support whatever public radio means to you.